Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Filmmaker Stephen C. Barber, Vanilla Fire Productions, the number one interviewer in the District of Columbia.
See, exactly. And we did not tell him to say that. That's awesome. But obviously, we're here for the GI Film Festival this weekend. It's an awesome annual event. It's down at the U.S. Navy Memorial Theater, where that's where they screen everything. But we're here to talk about your documentary, The Vietnam Wall Guy. Explain for our listeners.
And honored. You know, about 3 or 4 years ago, my producer, director, Matthew Housley, who's actually on a plane coming here right now, he and I told him about, I met this guy, Jan, and I don't even remember where I met Jan, but I thought, man, this is a great story. I mean, this is an unsung, humble guy who that somehow managed to get this wall built in 1979, or he conceived it, and within 3 years, which would be impossible now, he got this thing built in 3 years.
Explain his full name. His
Jan Scruggs.
Yeah.
And so I called him up. I said, "Hey Jan, I'm a documentary filmmaker from Los Angeles. I love your story. Can I come shoot you?" And he was like, "Yeah, absolutely." So we went to his office, and this was about 4 years ago, and we shot him. And in hopes of doing something much grander, I said, "Well, here, let me do this. We'll shoot a mini documentary, kind of a short. We'll try to raise money for a full documentary, which is what I usually do, and we'll go from there." Well, he kind of moved on. After we shot him, he was building this underground learning center. And he got real burnt out. I got an email from him one day. It said, "Done. Over. I've retired." I'm like, "What?" I mean, I couldn't believe it. And then like 6 months later, he was working on this global terrorism memorial. And I said, "I thought you retired." And he said, "Well, you know, don't believe everything you read," right? He's just one of those guys that can't really retire. So that's how it started. My director, Matthew Housley, and my producer, Tamara Henry, who's with me right now, they said, "Hey, let's submit it to the GI Film Festival," and sure enough, they picked it.
Before we dive more into the movie, talk about the festival itself. Is this your first time coming
this
here?
This is, you know, it's they quote it out as the Sundance of
for the troops.
I'm not a huge fan of Sundance for many reasons. So I would just say it stands on its own. It is a moving picture testimonial of people that serve this country. And it has turned into something really big. This is the 11th year, and we're just really honored to be part of it. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, for me to get on a plane and come across the country to be part of this is a testimony on what we think it is.
And not only is it movies about the troops, but it's a lot of them are movies made by actual veterans. Talk about how cool that is to give them a platform.
Well, this is the greatest time in the world to be a filmmaker because anybody and everybody can be a filmmaker. Now, that doesn't mean all the films are good.
Right. You just need Final Cut and a Mac.
That's a private joke there. But, yeah, but, you know, because of the technology now, I mean, anybody can make a movie, which is phenomenal. You know, when I got started 10 years ago, I mean, it wasn't like that. I mean, you had to go out and buy camera equipment. You know, it wasn't digital yet. I mean, the iPhone hadn't even been invented.
Right.
I mean, the iPhone came out like the day I started filming. So it was like, you know, it's a great time technologically. So the troops have access to all this technology and they're in the field. I mean, they're downrange. So what an opportunity for them to be able to bring these stories home.
That's awesome. All right. So you kind of went into how you first heard about Jan Scruggs and you thought, wow, that could be a great little documentary. Explain how you went about, you know, shooting it and structuring it into a bit of a narrative for your movie.
Well, where we got lucky there, our company is Vanilla Fire Productions, and I would recommend that anybody go to vanillafire.com. I really do consider our film company to be the most noble film company in America. Now, I might not be the most noble guy, but I'm working on that. Those are my own personal demons. But we have told 6 of the best stories that I can even think about, from the Battle of Tarawa to the Battle of the Philippines. And what happened is we work with a guy named Neil Sandilands, who is just this incredible, he's a real oddity because he's an actor, director, producer, shooter, which is unusual. Most actors don't shoot, direct, act.
Right.
He does it all. So we went to Neil and we said, "Hey, so we got this great story about this guy." And Neil has won like the South Africa, he's from South Africa. He's won the South African Oscar. I mean, the guy's just, he's got talent off the stick. And what I learned early on is like I shot, produced, directed, did craft services, produced my first film, right? Well, it was just okay. I learned my second film is that I hired the writer, I hired the composer, I hired the director. I still do the craft services. But what I learned was that if you hire talent that's way better than you, you can still take all the credit. But what I really found out was that the film comes out much better. So I've been working with Neil for 5 or 6 years. So I took it to Neil. Neil was blown away. He's really objective because he's from South Africa. So he'd never heard of this. He didn't know anything about Vietnam or anything. So
right, right.
He went into it with a really kind, open eye. And he put together, and I mean, he put together a masterpiece. I mean, it's just a beautiful, you know, 12-minute documentary, but it's really, it's got original score. I mean, it just flows like a feature film. That's where we got lucky.
So are we interviewing Jan in this movie? And...
Oh, yeah. Jan is the voice of the film. Okay. And I mean, if people do, I mean, you know, we want everybody to come out to the Navy Memorial Theater on Sunday, May 28th at 3 p.m. But for those of you who can't, if you go to VanillaFire.com, you can actually go to the documentary icon and pull it up. It's on my website.
Oh, awesome.
So I've got three documentary shorts on there, and one of them is the Vietnam Wall guy. So if people would like to see it, I mean, because that's really what it's about. You know, I tell people we don't make a lot of money at Vanilla Fire Productions. Mm-hmm. We make a difference. And I really, my job is just to get these stories out there, because these stories do make a difference in people's lives.
So let's get the story out there right now. I mean, I obviously want people to go see the movie too, but just for the purposes of this though, tell me sort of, you know, how you go into his life, into his story. How did he come up with the idea to do this to begin with?
Well, it wasn't his idea. Oh, the wall. Okay, yeah. So that is completely fascinating, and it actually includes us. Because he came out in 1978. Now, you're a little too young to remember, but there was a movie called The Deer Hunter. It was
I remember it very well. Michael Cimino.
One of the greatest, who just passed away, Mike John. I knew Michael. One of the greatest films of
greatest
all time.
Greatest movies, yes.
Yeah. John Savage is a close personal friend of ours. In fact, John narrated one of my movies called The Carrier. John is just this lovely guy, lives in a small apartment in Malibu. He's just a real hardworking actor.
He's the veteran.
He plays Stevie.
Hospitalized in the wheelchair. He's the wedding in the beginning.
He plays Stevie. He's in the cage with De Niro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, frightening stuff.
Yeah.
So he and I are actually good friends, and he didn't even know about this. So when I met Jan, Jan's like, yeah, you know, I went to a movie in 1978 with my wife. It's called The Deer Hunter, you know. And when I came out of that movie, I had to do this.
That inspired him to do the wall.
That blew my mind, because my films have had not that big an effect, but have inspired people to do some pretty amazing things.
Right.
So that's really what this is about, is the power. I mean, he is indicative of the power that is film. So he went to The Deer Hunter. Had he not gone to The Deer Hunter that day, he would have never made the wall. I mean, think about that. So
that's
Michael
crazy.
Cimino is actually the catalyst for the wall.
There's the power of film, right?
I mean,
there.
That's the power of film. It's really quite amazing. So, and of course, and Jan is he's the antithesis of filmmaker Stephen C. Barber. He is this quiet, unsung, humble. I've never been accused of humility, I can tell you that. and I asked him, because I had to like keep turning up the mic. I'm like, Jan, can you talk a little louder?
Right.
And finally, at the end of this, we got shooting him. I'm like, Jan, how did you get this done? I can barely hear you.
Yeah.
And he just looked at me and he kind of laid back and he went, I'm a quiet achiever, which, you know, he is. He's a guy that knows how to get stuff done in a quiet, you know, linear way, and really quite amazing.
That's awesome. So does the movie just focus mostly on his creation of the wall, or do you go into other aspects of what makes him?
Well, we started, because we just went into this as a trailer more than, you know, we shot him for a couple of days. Then I came back and shot him again. So we started in his office. It starts in his office. He goes to the wall. We got lucky that weekend. He was actually doing an event at the Library of Congress. So we followed him over to the Library of Congress, where there was a couple hundred people, and he spoke in front of them. So that was just kind of luck. He just happened to be doing that that weekend. So it shows him there. It shows people out at the wall. It shows, I mean, it's basically a weekend that we shot him. But also I got to come back where they did the groundbreaking for the Learning Center, which they're still funding for, which I don't think he's a part of anymore. Like I said, he's got a whole new thing with global terrorism. He's raising funding for that. So, which is great, because he has done, I mean, that the energy that he's put into the Vietnam Memorial Wall it's just kind of the same thing now over and over and over. So it's kind of cool that he's gone into a brand new project with this global terrorism memorial.
How much do you think the Vietnam Wall itself over time inspire people to appreciate not only Vietnam vets, but vets in general more and more over the decades? Because we always hear horror stories about, you know, how Vietnam vets were treated so poorly when they came back. I know now it's a much different world now. I mean, maybe post 9/11, a lot, you know, you started hearing more of a, you know, let's embrace the troops sort of a thing. But back then it wasn't really the case. So, I mean, just talk about how his vision for the wall helped bring about that change.
Well,
he
has completely changed. You know, it's funny because I do a lot of World War II movies. So, you know, I'm kind of into the Vietnam world now. And Vietnam has kind of become like World War II. I mean, these guys are all in their 70s now.
Right.
So what I found out, and it hit me astronomically when I talked to some vets that said, you know what? We did what our country asked us to do, and we fought as noble and as hard and as tough as the guys in World War II. And in fact, we came back the most successful, hardworking Americans in the history. I mean, more guys went out on the GI, right. What do you call it? I'm blanking for a second. For your education.
The GI Bill?
The GI Bill, they came out. Yeah, easy for you to say. it was a long flight. And he said, we were the most successful veterans in the history of the country as far as coming back and being successful and building businesses. And
right.
And he says, we were spit on, and we were in an unpopular war. But he said, we weren't unpopular, you know, Army, Navy, Marine guys.
Right, right.
We were working for the United States government. The government said, go take that hill. We went and took that hill.
Right.
So that was kind of cool for me. And the wall began. That wall, had that wall not been built, I still think the Vietnam War would be looked on as a very, very black eye in the American psyche. But I think that wall, I know that wall has actually changed
perception.
180. Because we just brought home a veteran named Sergeant Stewart because of a film that I made called Return to Tarawa in 2008. It wasn't the same effect that he had, but it was similar. A guy named Alderman Balser, who's a Marine in Hamburger Hill, saw my movie, called me up and said, you're trying to tell me there's still 500 Marines buried in Tarawa that never came home? I'm like, yes, sir. He ended up going to a guy named Congressman Lipinski. Lipinski got he got legislation passed. And then 2 years later, I got a phone call saying, hey, Mr. Barber, because of your film, legislation was passed. Would you like to go back to Tarawa with these 17 Marines on a C-17? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
And it blew my mind because I kind of forgot about that movie. I'd already made two other ones. And that was the power of my film.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do anything after that. I walked away from the film. It was great. On to the next project.
But someone out there saw it and contacted a congressman. I mean, say no more.
Yeah. So all this power was happening unbeknownst to me until this guy called me up. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? Oh, yeah. I saw your movie on Discovery bought it.
Right.
I saw your movie on the military channel, and it had this effect on me. And then I went and did this. And I was like,
what's the name of that film
it's
again?
It's called Return to Tarawa.
Is that one of these here or no?
It's not one.
Tell me about these two films here.
Well, that film is Kelsey Grammer's my partner. I've actually got a let me put this up for your radio audience to see.
Oh, there you go.
This is called Left Behind.
As you can see it through the microphones.
Yeah, it's called Left Behind. Kelsey Grammer has partnered with me. He's a great guy. And I'm working with him and UTA. Andrew Lear is his agent. And we are out pitching a show right now about bringing home. What most people don't know, there's 88,000. Let me repeat that, man. 88,000 that never came home from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. 2,200 in Vietnam, 8,000 in Korea, and about 79,000 World War II. 40,000 of those are recoverables. And basically what happened is, like, America would go into these horrendous battles, Peleliu, Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Battle of the Coral Sea, and they would have these horrific battles, you know, Okinawa, for 5, 6, 7 weeks sometimes. And they would bury all the bodies right away. And then they'd come back 2 or 3 years later after the war was over, and they lost a lot of guys.
Right.
It's not now. There was no GPS. There was no ground penetrating radar, which is how we find. And a lot of people are like, well, why should we go back after guys that have been dead for 70 years? You know, it's not about those guys.
Right.
And that's what that film's about. It's about the families.
Yeah.
And it moves generationally. You know, I meet people that, my mother, because my grandfather never came home, it ripped the fabric in the whole of our family, and it has not stopped. And we want these people to come home. And at the end of the day, if you join the United States Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Coast Guard, they sign an agreement. And in that agreement, it says that we will bring you home no matter what.
Right.
That is in the agreement. So we've signed an agreement as American citizens to bring all these guys home. So that's what we're doing. So we're out pitching that show. So everything I've done, people are like, oh, you're this great World War II filmmaker. It's not like that. It's just that these stories keep coming to me.
And they're so compelling.
And
once you hear about it, I got to make it. It almost tells itself.
And they're endless.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had the dough, because it's really all about my films cost $200,000 or $300,000 each.
Sure.
I spend 99.9%. In fact, I'm going to hit you up for some dough after this.
You're coming in the wrong place. A young guy in radio? Are you kidding me?
$5, whatever. But that's all I do. You know, Tamara, who's my muse over here, Tamara Henry, she's an anchor woman out of Los Angeles. And she and I, we send emails, we send packages. In fact, Tamara, is there anything that you would like to say about Vanilla Fire Productions?
I just like to say that I'm honored to be making these military films because. And I really hope
Do you mind stepping up to the mic and saying it?
Oh, yeah.
That way, you can...
She's in television.
We'll get it on... We got the Facebook Live, but let's get it on the mic,
She's in television.
I just want to make my daddy proud. My dad was in Vietnam, and my dad served our country for 20 years. He was at the Pentagon. He served under Nixon in Vietnam, and so...
Wasn't he given some sort of award?
Yeah, he got the Bronze Star for ground operations against hostile forces, and so... You know, I didn't never know that I'd grow up to be making military films. And so every time I'm up on the stage, you know, I have to give a big shout out to Dad and tell him I love him and that I hope I'm making him proud.
And by stage, you mean your music career?
Well, actually, you know, at first it was, presenting our films, you know, whether it be at a screening or at the Directors Guild or wherever we'd be showing our films. But yeah, in the past couple of years, after I hosted on the LA Music Awards red carpet interviewing music people, mm-hmm. They found out that I was an in-law of Johnny Cash, and they said, "Do you sing?" And I said, "Well, I do. I used to sing in the pageants when I." Yeah.
By
was
the
competing.
Way, she's right, right. You're with a pageant. She's Miss Arkansas 1997.
Oh, well, there you
she
go.
She was the very first contestant that our president Donald Trump met in 1997 when he bought the was it Miss USA?
Yeah, it was the Miss USA pageant. Wow.
And her godmother at the time said, "Oh my God, there he is! I want you to be the first person to meet him." So she pushed Tamara. Down to the carpet, and we've got the picture to prove it.
Talk but anyway, about timely.
So she could have been the first lady.
So I started singing again. My daddy loved country music. Let me tell you, when I was a little girl, he called me Tammy after Tammy Wynette.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Oh my God, here is the second wave of making my daddy proud." Daddy, I love you, Daddy. He's in Arkansas right now, retired in Heber Springs, and he's listening right now. I bet. So, Daddy, I love you.
Oh, that's awesome. So that's Tamara, that's how you were inspired to start making these films. What is there a personal connection for you?
Well, what happened to me, and this is what WTOP Washington. So I don't know your demographics, but anybody over 40 is going to know who Eddie Albert was.
Remember Eddie Albert?
How do you know all this, kid?
I'm a movie buff, man.
You are. Eddie actually was up for an Oscar for a movie called Attack, which you've never seen. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Was he in Roman Holiday?
He was in Roman Holiday with Gregory Peck, but he was in this obscure movie called Attack with Jack Palance.
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
You got to watch it. He was up for Oscar for it.
So okay.
I was riding my bike 20 years ago this year. I'm a mountain biker. You can tell. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't mention how fit I am.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I have a six-pack. It's in the car.
Training wheels.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I was riding my bike, and I saw Eddie Albert. In fact, the funny thing is I saw Tom Hanks, and I pitched Tom Hanks. It's a true story. He was filming The Road to Perdition, and he didn't want anything.
He'd already done Private Ryan.
He didn't want anything to do with me. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I got your package. I got your messages. Right. I'm not interested. Have a good day. I said, all right, take care. 3 minutes later, I cross over onto Sunset. I see Eddie Albert. That's a true story. I can prove it. It's in the movie. And he had a hat on, and I got it. He looked the same. He was 95. So he and I became really good friends. I asked him, at the time I was a writer. I was I hadn't even thought about making a movie. Right. And I was writing for some local magazines. And anyway, he let me come into his house. He let me interview him. He told me he was in this battle called, and I called it Tarara. I didn't even know. I was like, in the movie, when you get a chance to watch it, I'm like, what is this, the Battle of Tarara? You know what? I had no clue about it. So life is interesting. I don't know if you ever saw the movie with Gwyneth Paltrow called Sliding Doors, but
oh yes,
that was my life. You know, it's like I was sick that day. I didn't feel well. I wasn't going to go on the bike ride, but I went on the bike ride, and my whole life changed. But it didn't change for a decade because after I went in there and I called a buddy of mine who had a camera because I didn't even have a camera, so we videotaped him. Thought, we'll just save this for nostalgia. You never know, right? Sure enough, later, 10 years later, I'm at the UCLA School of Books. Now, I like people over 90 and under 6, and everybody else is suspect, right?
So I saw the only ones you can trust.
Yeah, so I saw a guy about 90 years old, and I walked up to him. I said, "What are you pitching, old-timer?" He's like, "Who are you calling an old-timer, you?" Then he called me an expletive. I'm like, I'm like, "I love you. You're great."
Yeah.
Well, he had a little piece of story on him about Tarawa, and I saw it. And I said, "What do you know about the Battle of Tarawa?" He goes, "I was in it, kid. I was a Higgins boat commander," and he talks like this. His name's Leon Cooper, right?
Wow.
I'm like, "Really?" I said, "You know, Eddie Albert was in there." He goes, "I know. I saw him in the bay. He was dragging Marines out of the bay." I'm like, and that's when I said I called him out. I go, "Come on, dude. That was like 65 years ago. That was in 2007, right?"
Yeah.
He said, "Kid, there was a movie star dragging Marines out of the. I was pissing my pants behind a Higgins boat. I'll never forget it." And I was like, "Wow, that's awesome. He really did see Eddie Albert." So. He had some money. Ed Harris was his neighbor.
The Ed Harris. Wow.
The Ed Harris, who's narrated two of our films. And that's how my movie career started.
Wow.
I mean, I would have never. So this is the old man, Leon Cooper, who's still alive. He's 97. He's still out trying to bring her. That's how all this happened, is because I met Leon Cooper, and Leon actually wrote a check for $200,000 out of his own bank account. We went out to Tarawa for the first time. Wow. Then we found out there were Marines that never came home. Then I came back, and that's when the movie got seen, and Alderman Balser saw it. And, you know, I mean, so it's really
crazy how one thing leads to another.
Mind-boggling. So, I mean, like I said, I'm an accidental filmmaker. But what an honor, you know, and I'm kind of convinced I'm supposed to do this, you know.
That's a good autobiography title for you one day, Accidental
The
Filmmaker.
Accidental Yeah, it's good. It's good. That's great.
But bringing it back to the reason we're here, the Vietnam Wall guy.
Right.
Why should our listeners they have so many great options if they go on the GI Film Fest website.
Right.
There's so many great options, but why should they come to this one on Sunday?
Well, you should come. All the films are good, without a doubt, but the documentary short program, all the films are the best. Because these are people that are shooting these films to make no money. Most documentary filmmakers do that, but even myself included, I've sold to Netflix, I've sold to Discovery, I've sold to Hulu. I'm like, we always want to try to get our money back. In the documentary short category, there's no option of making a dime.
You just want to get these stories told.
It's really about passion. Mm-hmm. So I've seen some of the trailers, I've seen all the trailers of all the other documentaries, and they all look fantastic. So if you don't have a chance to see anything, I would recommend the Navy Memorial Theater, 3 p.m. Get your tickets, because my film, our film, The Vietnam Wall Guy, will be in a whole lot of films. I think 7 or 8, and it'll run fairly fast because most of the films are 9 or 10 minutes. And it'll be life changing for you because it's all about passion.
And aren't we coming up on it? It's a perfect weekend to do it because not only is it Memorial Day weekend, but I think it's an anniversary too. I think it might be the anniversary of Rolling Thunder coming up here.
Yeah, thank you for the pitch there. That's good. actually, Jan Scruggs, and we'll be out there. He is going to be hosting. He'll be out at the timing's incredible. I mean, the fact that they did all this. He'll be hosting out at the Vietnam Wall. He'll be the main speaker. 300,000 bikers. That's not 290,000, not 260,000, 300,000.
This is on Monday, the day after your film.
Yeah, right. So, and I love big crowds with lots of noise. So that's going to work out real well. So it's just going to be an honor to go down there. And so if you guys, anybody wants to come out it's Memorial Day. What I like to remind people is Memorial Day is not about barbecuing. Memorial Day is not about buying a car.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with barbecuing. There's nothing wrong with buying a car. But that's what, unfortunately, these days have become.
Right.
That's not what Memorial Day is about. And, hey, I was as complacent as the next guy until I got into this, until I got a little bit educated, until I realized, because I got a chance to spend 6 weeks out in Tarawa, which is just the size of Manhattan, right, watching 17 Marines and Army and Navy guys with JPAC, the Joint POW-MIA Accounting Command, digging holes 12 hours a day. In 110-degree equatorial sun. Mm. And I was like, wow. And it's kind of weird because they juxtaposition like a 180. So they leave all their guns at home, which is why they're there, because the first Marines that came in there had all their guns.
Right.
Everybody was murdered. And that's what people don't understand. It's like, these guys were murdered. I mean, we know who murdered them. Now we just need to bring them home.
Right.
And it's not about finding the culprits. It's just about closure for the families.
Right.
So I've just, I'd like to educate your listeners. Because I had no education until I started getting into this. So the more you know, the more you know.
Well, thanks for the ongoing education through all your films. So.
My pleasure. And I would, the shameless documentary filmmaker plug, please go to VanillaFire.com. And I recommend anybody's got a story, especially in the military genre, send it to me. Because that's how I find stuff now. People send me, when I go to an event, I tell people I'm a documentary filmmaker. Inevitably, as you know, because you're a documentary filmmaker as well. People are like, oh man, do I get a story for you? And I love that. I'm like, tell me. Because everybody thinks they have the greatest story. And I love it because some people are right. Most people are wrong. They don't have the greatest story.
right.
But in this particular case, they're right.
That's so awesome. So hit up his website. What's it again?
It's VanillaFire.com. Okay. My name's Stephen Barber, if you didn't get that. My producer is Tamara Henry with her brand new CD, Tammy Cash. And my director, Matthew Housley, who's on a plane right now, who's a very humble guy, and he could care less about media, but I'll tell him.
Awesome. Well, that's how you can find out more about this gentleman. And in the meantime, come see the documentary, The Vietnam Wall Guy, the Jan Scruggs story, at the GI Film Festival Sunday at, you said, 3 p.m. at the U.S. Navy Memorial. And yeah. that's the perfect way to set it up. And then you to actually go out to the memorial on Monday, like which we do every year. But this year is an even more special year.
And you can barbecue. You can buy a car. Yeah. Just do it on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Do the important stuff first. All right. We really appreciate you guys coming in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. What a pleasure. Awesome.